This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You're listening to the Steve Carino Show on placetobenation.com. Now, here's your host, the king of old school, Steve Carino.
Hello and welcome to yet another edition of the Steve Carino Show. I am your host. Who else would it be? Steve Carino. Hey, the Steve Carino Show is brought to you every week free of charge through the Place to Be Nation. But if you've listened for the past 8 episodes, you'd already know that. But if you want to contribute, head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Carino and get one of the 4 new Steve Carino inspired t-shirts. There's a Steve Carino shirt, a Mr. Wrestling 3 shirt, a PWS shirt, which you should be buying right now, an American Tiger shirt up at the moment. And like we talked about last week on the Steve Carino Show, a sale going on. You can go over to worldofcarino.com and see all the details, but keep buying. Everything's been going great. Hey, you like to order from High Spots? Of course you do. They have everything from wrestling rings to wrestling gear, belts to DVDs, and DVDs hosted by me, Steve Carino. Click on the High Spots link on worldofcarino.com. You buy, they kick some money back my way. Big show tonight. Big show. I don't want to say it's the biggest show in our 9-week history, but as I'm sitting here, I have my fingers up in the air doing my version one. We're going to have my buddy Matt Hardy on the show. And the timing couldn't be better. Usually in my life, I am either day late, dollar short, spoke up at the wrong time, got heat with the wrong person, and it just always blows up in my face. Not tonight. Not tonight. Right here on the Steve Carino Show, Matt Hardy, who is always a topic of discussion, and a guy that has a remarkable story. We're gonna shoot the shit with him. And we got a lot to talk about. I mean, a lot to talk about. We are on the heels of the Ring of Honor pay-per-view this Saturday, which would be tomorrow on this Sunday from the Tennessee State Fairgrounds Expo Center, 625 Smith Avenue in Nashville, Tennessee. It's going to be a great card. We're going to go over that too. Also tonight, since you're listening on Friday, tonight, the Premier Wrestling Federation returns to the Hubert Bingo Hall. And I'm going to say right now, exclusively for people to listen to the Steve Carino Show. And if you come to the show, you might hear it too. If we sell out tonight, well, damn it, I will rename the Hubert Bingo Hall into, yes, dare I say, the PWF Arena. Oh. Get your tickets now, ProWrestlingPWF.com, or just come to the door. No one buys tickets like that. Yeah, you know, I sit there and I look at it and I go, oh, yeah, free, tickets are here, tickets are here. Hey, you know what? Why we're talking about the PWF, tell Mama C at the ticket table tonight at PWF that you listen to the Steve Carino Show, half off your ticket. Word up, half off your ticket. That's like a cut. That's a cut. Let's talk about cuts. We just missed it last week, you know, because we tape on Tuesday nights, and the shitstorm that happened at the WWE, and I say shitstorm, and I don't know why, because I'm sitting in front of my computer, and I gave air quotes. But the shitstorm that happened at the WWE with all the cuts was something that shocked me, and it didn't shock me that people got cut. It actually shocked me that people were so up in arms about them. And I thought to myself, oh, here we go. We talk about it every week. Stop being negative. The people that got let go, really, who was a shocker? Really, I mean, let's face it. Drew McIntyre, Yoshitatsu, Jinder Mahal, the girl's name? Dan, I need you to chime in here. What was the girl's name?
Oksana.
And I think one other of them are foreigners, which probably meant that their visas were up, which means that, you know, the WWE either has to renew their visa or let them go. And what really could you do more with 3MB? They've done a great job, and they're very entertaining, but it was to the end of the rope with them. Brodus Clay, they try their best with this guy, you know, making him a killer at NXT, and then, you know, with the Funkadelics, and it just didn't work. Evan Bourne, I might get in trouble for saying this, but I will probably bet my next kid that he'll be at ROH on Sunday, just because him and Delirious are absolutely best friends. I don't know for sure if he's going to be there because, well, hell, no one talks to me. But if I was a bet man, I'd say, okay, he's going to go to ROH. And then we have other guys that also got released that, you know, Teddy Long, he's 66 years old. So before you cry me a river about all these guys that lost their job, think about all these guys that you want to get a job. And now the rumors are out there that, you know, Kevin Steen is going to the WWE, and, you know, Ricochet had a tryout, and all these guys that had tryouts, and, you know, where are they going to come? Is Prince DeVette going to make it into the WWE? You need to make room for them. And it's not just a cost-cutting measure to get rid of those people. It's people lose their jobs. It's like a manager of a major league team. The second that you are hired to manage a major league baseball team, is you're on the clock. And the clock is ticking, and eventually it's going to end. Same thing with the WWE. Same thing with any wrestling company. Back when I was a kid, the heels would only come into a territory for maybe 6 months, 6 to 9 months, and then they would go to a different territory. Babyfaces lasted a year, year and a half, and then they went to a different territory. Some of these guys have been under contract for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Teddy Long has been, oh, hell, spells, man. He has been collecting a paycheck from multiple companies for a lot of years. These guys all fall on their feet. Curtis Hawkins, let's face it. Curtis Hawkins knew it was coming. If he didn't know it was coming, then then he fooled me. His t-shirts were already up on Pro Wrestling Tees, and he started his own wrestling school. This guy was ready to go. I think it was. Now, Dan, could I be wrong in this to say that there was nobody really super surprising, or were you shocked and awed?
I had a feeling my biggest surprise was it took this long for some of these folks. You know, you always used to hear jokes about how is JTG still employed? You know, I mean, Crime Time had long since passed. He really wasn't doing a whole lot. Wasn't even really on the enhancement shows, wasn't down in NXT, wasn't on Superstar. So in certain respects, yeah, I could see where certain guys were given their opportunities and just weren't being utilized, so they might as well be let go. I would say that maybe if I was going to pick a surprise on this list, and maybe it's because I'm still living in 2010, is the fact that, you know, they had a lot of stock in a guy like Drew McIntyre years ago, and and I used to watch him quite a bit on Superstars with the 3MB stuff. He'd always lose, but you could always kind of tell that he's, you know, still doing his work, still perfecting the craft, whatever, you know, still making moves and whatnot. But you could tell that they really weren't going to do much with him, so I guess it's probably for the best that he takes off. But, yeah, no, there really wasn't any surprises, I don't think, on this list.
No, absolutely not. And I believe that people got to come and go. Where, you know, I also pegged Drew McIntyre as a guy that was going to go far. But there must have been something. And you'll see it over the history of professional wrestling. There's the can't-miss guys that missed. And whether maybe they were sloppy in the ring, or they didn't, you know, they rubbed management the wrong way. You know, somewhere along the lines, they get lost, or they get lost in the shuffle. And, you know, it's one of those things where professional wrestling is not, and we've gone over this before, is not a talent rises to the top. It's whoever's going to draw the money for you. We can hear until we're blue in the face that John Cena is getting pushed too much, blah, 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 blah. The fact that he sells so much merchandise and people know him and he's the face of the company, that's why he gets pushed. And you know what? Everybody likes him. Everybody likes to work with him. You don't hear, oh, that's Cena, he's a bastard, and he didn't want to sell for me. And it's the thing that I always think about that with, like, Hogan. once I was talking to Bobby Heenan once, and I said, man, you know, I always think that Hulk Hogan's like the nicest guy ever. He was so nice to me. He goes, the only people that hate Hulk Hogan are the ones that weren't good enough to work with him. I said, whoa, that makes a lot of sense. So, you know, I think of it that way. Hey, I'm pretty sad though, Dan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, glad that was a great lead in for you.
Mm? No, not because of Camacho's departure, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah. But I could see him be back. I could see every one of them but Brodus Clay getting and Evan Bourne back one day. You know, Camacho, he might need a tag partner or something to get him back in a gimmick change and, you know, a recharge. You know, Drew McIntyre might catch fire again. You never know. Like, a McIntyre could end up in New Japan or help save All Japan and catch fire. Look at a guy like Davey Boy Smith Jr. What was he? D.H. Smith in WWE. Mm-hmm. A guy that just kept getting lost in the shuffle, a can't-miss product, and he's doing great in New Japan, and he seems happy. So there's definitely a light at the end of the tunnel for these guys if they choose to. And it's all how they can, you know, do their, you know, their career. Now, you have some breaking news. You just told me, and I guess by the time that people listen, it won't be so breaking. But you informed me that a second ladder match has been announced for the Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's one of those perks of having the live show on Main Event and letting them know that they're actually trying to show that Main Event means something sometimes. They sometimes throw you a title match in there. They further along storylines. And every now and again, they drop a bomb like they did this on when we recorded on Tuesday, which was Seth Rollins came out in his suit. And, you know, he was, you know, cutting promos on obviously his former business partners, Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. And while he was doing that, he said, I have a big announcement to make. Per orders of the authority, there will be a second ladder match, and it will be a traditional Money in the Bank contract, you know, briefcase ladder match. And much like the authority put Orton into the main event for the WWE heavyweight title, the authority seems to have stepped again and have inserted Seth Rollins into the second ladder match. So that, you know, will create some very interesting dynamics, probably more qualifying matches, maybe another battle royal, who knows, over the next few weeks. But yeah, that's what happened on Main Event, and crazy stuff going on, man. It's looking like a really loaded card, or maybe just a couple matches worth of a lot of people involved. I don't know what the undercard's going to look like, but it's looking like a really crazy night in Boston coming up in a couple weeks.
Now, I got to ask you, as a fan that is going to the show on June 29th, are you excited? Or did the second ladder match being announced really, you know, put it over the top for you that you're excited? Not only are you going to get to see the next WWE World Heavyweight Champion, but you're also going to see the Money in the Bank. You know, somebody's going to grab the briefcase.
Well, you know, the internet's not going to like me for this answer, Steve, but I was actually kind of rooting for Daniel Bryan to be stripped of the title. Now, I hope he's healthy. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying, oh, I hope his career's over. What I'm saying is, for my own selfish fandom of being, knowing that I was going to this, to the Money in the Bank weeks in advance, I said to myself, you know, it would be a lot more interesting for me to see a ladder match for the title rather than see another Kane versus Daniel Bryan match that I'm pretty sure I know who's going to win the match. So when you combine now that I'm going to be guaranteed to see a major title change, then plus the added who knows what's going to happen element, the unpredictability of what happens in the second match and whether or not the winner of that match will come out later to screw over the winner of the main event. There's so many possibilities. I'm glad I'll be sitting there. I don't care if I have the stomach bug or flu and now I'm going to be knocking on wood the closest to me, but I'm going to really enjoy myself at this pay-per-view.
Sounds like it's going to be great. Next week when it's on, I'm going to be in at the beach, I think, right? No, I won't. I'll be home. Awesome. Oh, crap. No, I won't. I'll be on my way to Canada. So I don't know if I will be able to watch it live. I better be able to watch it live. Shit. I don't know, man. I think it's going to be a great trip because there's so many different ways that they can go with it. There's going to be a new champion. I think they're definitely going to put somebody new up for the title, or it's going to be Cena up and Rollins is going to screw him right away. I definitely see a heel walking out with the championship belts, whether he win the match itself or win the Money in the Bank and cash it in the same night.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me based on my history with going to pay-per-views of late. A couple of years ago at the Royal Rumble, I saw Alberto Del Rio win, which was not very popular with the home crowd. The second pay-per-view... That's right. Up in Boston, of course, we all are. The second pay-per-view I went to was Night of Champions, and that ended with... Punk laying out John Cena with a belt, you know, after the match was over, and it was kind of a screwy finish. But, you know, at the end, the heel was marching out, you know, hands up in the air. And then last year, I saw Survivor Series, which was dreadful as far as a main event goes, Big Show versus Orton. And again, it was Orton holding up holding up the belt at the end, and Big Show looked like a big fool. So if it's going to be a big heel finish, chances are I will be there for it.
I do like it. You're a heel walking out type of guy. That should be good. Mm. Oh, man. Hey, let's switch gears real quick. You know, a death in the baseball world happened this week when, you know, Tony Gwynn had passed away from cancer at the age of 54. What a shame. You know, here's a guy, and Dan, I know you're 33, and a lot of the listeners that we have on the Steve Carino Show range from, you know, young teenagers to, you know, guys past my age of 41. Tony Gwynn was a major part of my youth growing up. Like I said, I grew up a Phillies and Cubs fan. So, you know, 1984 happens. The Cubs, you know, being a big Ryan Sandberg fan, the Cubs go into the playoffs against the San Diego Padres. And it's really the first time that I got to see the brilliance of a Tony Gwynn. This guy, like, you could throw him a golf ball, you know, from 20 feet away, and this guy's going to slap it in the right field or slap it in the left field or slap it in the center. Wherever he wanted to place the ball, he could. And he just always seemed like a cool guy. Whether you hated the Padres or not, like, you could hate the Padres but think, man, Tony Gwynn's a cool guy. And he just had that voice about him, very not mousy, but he a very light way of talking, very Walter Payton-ish, if you ask me. And he just loved baseball, and everybody that you could talk to about baseball said this guy just always loved talking baseball. And he had a career average of .338, which is unbelievable. And I read a statistic that he didn't strike – or he went something like 9 seasons, and I could be wrong here. He went like 9 seasons without striking out over 20 times for the whole season. And in this month, there's already 9 guys that have struck out 20 times this month. Mm. I mean, that's a guy that just could hit. And, you know, being a baseball player, you know, when I was younger and – trying to, you know, hit the baseball was the hardest thing ever. you have a guy throwing this pill at you from 60 feet, 6 inches, and it's curving and it's sliding, and sometimes it's fast and sometimes it's a little slower, but it looks like a fastball, and it will drive you crazy. Absolutely drive you crazy. And that guy was one of the best, but 54 years old, and I have to say it, and I'm not going to preach to you about drugs and alcohol and stuff like that, but the cancer that he died of is very, very preventable. And, you know, the dip and the chewing tobacco and, you know, smoking in general is just – it's shitty, man. You know, that guy died a painful death, and he could have enjoyed these years, but – He chose to do the smokeless tobacco, especially in a day and age when you didn't know it was that dangerous. And it's scary. And you know, I wish that, you know, you could say that, oh, it's our rights to smoke or chew tobacco or anything like that. Sure, it's your right. But I wish you would choose not to do it, because you're going to let people down. You know, 54 is an awakener, because, yeah, I'm 41. That's 13 years from me. And I just think about the things that I would want to see in the next 20 or 30 years. And, man, what a shame. What a ball player.
Yeah, and you know, Steve, I used to travel a lot with, you know, low minors, independent ball, even then up to single A. The highest I was with was triple A. And it's funny how some of these young kids would still do that sort of thing. Like, it was just still part of the culture. And in so much more information is out there now. And again, not to judge, everybody has their vices and everything, but it really is something that, you know, you could easily go without. As long as you're not addicted, but you know what I mean? It's like you know so much, so why you keep doing it? It's troubling. You know, addiction is a very, very difficult thing, obviously, to overcome.
Oh, and addiction could be so many different things. And we're not just talking about smokeless tobacco and cigarettes. Addiction could be any form of anything. Sometimes I think I have like an eating addiction, whether it be comfort eating, stress eating. There's a Chinese buffet that's on my route, you know, that I go by every day, and at least once a week there's something pulling me to it. Wrestling is an addiction, knowing that, man, it hurts and my body hurts and stuff like that, but I still go out and do it every day. And you know, there's people that are addicted to alcohol and drugs and sex, and I don't know those people that are addicted to sex. I just read stories, but yeah, addiction is a tough thing, and you definitely want to try and do your best, because if you don't care about yourself, that's one thing, but there's always people out there that care about you. So, you know, hey, Steve Carino Show, the more you know, man. Now, Dan, taking it a whole different way, before we go to break, I got to ask you, you seem like the nicest guy ever, and I appreciate you being my producer every week. You make it very light, very easy, and you know, you're very laid back, and you know, I go in here kind of, you know, not that I'm not prepared, but I just kind of wing a lot of it. I have my little stuff that I want to get down, and I go. But man, you put out a tweet last week about beach balls at baseball games, and like I'm reading your tweet, and I'm also thinking, like, you're probably red-faced and hot as you're writing. What happened, pal?
I was sitting out in the center field bleachers of Fenway Park with my father on Thursday, or last Thursday. It was kind of a pre-Father's Day get-together, but it was also alongside a big group of people that I hang out with, you know, and they do this every year where they get group tickets out in the bleachers. Now, the first year we did it, it kind of coincided with the Bruins in the Stanley Cup Finals against Chicago, so not a lot of people are necessarily paying attention to the game, but then again, not a lot of people are staying late into the game, so I didn't really notice things as much 2 years ago than I did this year. Anyway, long story short, people still bring beach balls to the bleacher section of Fenway Park. Now, I'm not saying... And this isn't even like real bleachers. This is like, you know, green seats that are out in the outfield that they call bleachers, but they're really not bleachers, and they're not priced like bleachers. They're probably more expensive than some teams' box seats. They're terrible. They're just awful. So it's already a difficult way to watch a game anyway, being way out there. But when you have a group of people that think, oh, you know what would be great? It's not enough to actually watch a game from this fabled ballpark and watch this team that just won a World Series. You know, it's not enough to see David Ortiz swing for the fences or see John Lester strike out 10 guys. No, we got to bring beach balls to the ballpark. And it's so aggravating because I just want to watch a baseball game. Call me an old man, call me Gran Torino, get off my lawn, but I just want to watch a baseball game when I go to a game. So when I'm not being able to watch a game because I'm constantly looking over my shoulder, you know, looking up and trying to avoid this ball, and then you have people cheering on the people who are with the ball, I just want to hold up my pen that I'm keeping score with and just pop that son of a bitch, but I can't.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm a little hot.
Yeah.
I'll calm down.
I agree with you. I think it's useless, and it's irritating. It's just people that want attention that there's no reason for it to be. It just makes me angry and pisses me off. And I was telling you before we went on the air that I was at my son's high school graduation last week, and can you believe that somebody brought a beach ball?
Really?
I'm thinking, look, assholes, stop. It's just dumb. Don't do it. And it made me angry. Things make me angry sometimes, but that makes me angry. Beach balls and
my dad and I we came to the conclusion after the game. Now, we had fun. It wasn't just all that, you know. Eventually the balls were all collected or popped or, you know, what have you. We enjoyed ourselves. The Red Sox did win the game. It was a fun experience. But my dad and I looked at each other. We were like, we're definitely become seat snobs. Like, we have to sit in fancier seats if we want to avoid this. Like, we're awful people.
Not awful people. You just want to watch the game and enjoy it. And that doesn't make you snobs. It makes the other guys just be like, hey, assholes, this isn't a $5, you know, minor league baseball game that you can act like an a-hole at. You know, this is – people pay real money for this stuff. Whew. Get your shit together, baseball fans. All right. Dan, before we get to our guest, I need to know, where can you find the Steve Carino Show?
Well, sir, you can find the Steve Carino Show in any of the following ways: by visiting placetovnation.com and clicking on the Steve Carino Show banner, or perhaps the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. In addition, just by subscribing to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes, you will automatically receive the latest and greatest episodes of the Steve Carino Show. You can also visit Stitcher.com and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast, or download the Place to Be Nation podcast app by hitting up placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad devices. Be sure to also follow us on Twitter. It's at Place to Be Nation and at Steve Carino Show. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/placetobenation. Finally, and we had some discrepancy about what's going on and how can we contact this show, and I'm not going to name any names, but we're going to get to it. If you have questions for the final segment or suggestions for this program, the email addresses are stevecarinoshow@placetobenation.com, stevecarinoshow@gmail.com, or you can always tweet us questions at Steve Carino Show. Steve!
So what you're saying is, if you have a question, you can tweet or you can email. Any question?
Yeah, that's what that line implies, yes.
Yeah, okay. If you have to ask Dan that question, probably don't ask your question. Because it's probably a dumb question. So, yeah. Think about that. And then before I throw this to break, people, wake up. Read what you write before you hit the send button. Because if it doesn't sound good to you, let's try not to. So, hey, when we come back, we got Matt Hardy on. And also in our final segment, not only are we going to have some Twitter questions, some Q&A, and some Twitter love, but also I am going to start a new thing of insults that I send Rob Dimension on a daily basis. You're listening to the Steve Carino Show. I was a bigger fool. I wore a tank top to show off my tattoo. Thought it was cool. I used to hang out with my daddy's brothers. I call them my uncles. They taught me. I followed them when they ran numbers. So in a sense, I was Rosemary's baby. What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out the Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, PlaceToBeNation.com.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, and we're back on the Steve Carino Show, and this week's guest is a guy that is always in the wrestling news. Whether you're a hater or a lover, and trust me, there's way more lovers out there of this guy than there are haters. And he's a guy that I've known for almost 18, 19 years now, and he's a true rags to riches story when it comes to professional wrestling, and I'm so happy to have him on. Ladies and gentlemen, on the line with us, the icon himself, Matt Hardy. Matt, thanks for joining us here on the Steve Carino Show.
Oh, man. Steve, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here. And anytime I get to sit back and chat with you and kind of talk shop or talk baseball, shoot the breeze, shoot the business, whatever, I love doing it. So thanks for having me. And thank you as well, Dan.
Oh,
Dan's
don't
in shock right now that you mentioned him.
No, I did the smile. This smile. It makes me want to go to the dentist. I'm probably going to go this week just because I see your smile on my screen, and it makes me happy. And it also makes me self conscious. I got to get my teeth cleaned.
Well, you know, I told a story a few episodes ago. I got the braces, and my mom said once the braces were taken off, we didn't pay that much for you not to smile in pictures. So you better just show those whites every time.
Exactly, man. When you spend money on those teeth, get your money's worth out of it. I certainly have.
He is a smiling mofo. Oh.
Hey, Matt, like I said, thanks for joining us. And I want to tell a little bit of the story of that people don't really know. And you know, it's funny. It's been told plenty of times, whether it be on like a WWE DVD or in your book that you and Jeff wrote. But for a lot of fans out there, and it's in the fans that I'm going to pick out right now are those – I hate Matt Hardy. You know, he's never paid a due in his life. You're the ultimate due payer in professional wrestling. And it starts off with you've been wrestling now, I want to say 22 years?
Yes, correct. 22 years, since 92.
Right, and starting out in North Carolina. And give the fans a little bit of how you started out, like what the process was in 1992.
Yeah, I mean, even if you back it up a little bit further to kind of make the story, to fulfill the story, in 1989, my brother and I begged our dad for a trampoline the Christmas of 88, 89, and we got this trampoline, and then we went into the woods, and we cut down trees, and we took garden hose, and we put telephone wire through them, and we built a ring, and we emulated what we saw on TV, and we would save up for a couple months at a time, and we would go rent at the video store one of those old school video cameras that you had to put a big VHS tape in that was huge, you know, that weighed like 30 pounds, and you put it on your shoulder. And then, you know, Jeff would wrestle me, and I'd be in a mask, and then I would be me without a mask, and I'd wrestle him, and he was probably Willow, you know, or whatever. And we would have like a whole pay-per-view, and we had a couple friends that got involved. And we did that like every two or three months. We got more and more extravagant with it. We built up these little arenas and whatnot. And then we met Tracy Cadell, who later wrestled with us right when we first began, and he had a coke route. He met an independent wrestler named Eddie Rainwater, who was trained and worked with the Italian Stallion, Gary Sabah, and George South. And he actually came out to my dad's house at this trampoline, and I remember he said, "Oh, this looks dangerous, guys. I saw some of your tapes that you have, and you kids have a lot of potential, but this trampoline," he was putting his foot on the trampoline like it was water, like seeing if it was like warm enough to step in. He's like, "Oh, this seems very dangerous because it's not like a regular real ring." And we stayed in contact with this guy, and we moved from the trampoline to a guy who was doing shows at fairs and carnivals in a half-real ring half trampoline in the middle. We did these. This guy realized he wasn't making any money. We got in contact with this Eddie Rainwater guy again. We went and wrestled with Stallion. And pretty much our gig was, as far as paying dues in the beginning when we started wrestling in 92, was we would work two or three times a weekend. We'd drive wherever Stallion wanted us to go. It was always free. The only thing we ever got paid was like a 2-liter Coke, you know, or a hot dog. That's what we'd get after the show. And he would offer us the opportunity to go to WWE to do jobs maybe every 6 or 8 months. And then we wanted more work on top of that, like when he wasn't working or if there was times we couldn't make his shows or whatever it was. So then we actually bought that ring. The guy used it at the fairs and carnivals, and we transformed it into a regulation ring, which it took about 10 hours to set up. We had it was such a brutal, like, redneck way that we put it together. We had no idea what we were doing.
I remember it.
It's terrible. It's
a great bumping ring, though.
Yeah, it was insane. And then we did shows. We would rent the armory. I would go out and I would hawk down sponsors. I had 3 jobs. I was sewing guys' gear at the time. I taught myself how to sew because I couldn't afford tights. So I sewed gear for most of the guys that were on the circuit in our area. I also raked pond straw and also farmed with my dad. So I did all those things, and that kind of helped, you know, supply me with a little bit of a fundage so I could pursue this crazy wrestling dream. And, you know, fortunately, we just kept repeating it over and over. You know, we're wrestling, we're learning, we're listening to the guys who were vets and had been out and about, and we kept working for WWE, and we got better and better reports. And, you know, a lot of people started, like, paying attention to us, and they gave us tips and pointers. And eventually, you know, we got a chance to be highlighted a little more, and it ultimately led to a job 4 or 5 years down the road.
And that's the thing that was so amazing, because when I was, I broke in Pennsylvania in that Northeast area, and I would drive to North Carolina and try and get shows. And the first time I met you and Jeff and Joey Abs and Marty Garner was, you know, at a WWF taping, you know, where it was like 2 different jobber crews. I was with the Bob Stars and the Tom Brandy crew, and you know, you guys were your own crew, and I had seen you guys on TV, and you know, it was funny because guys would like want you guys, you know, our jobber crew would be there, and I would, you know, I was just sitting and watching, and they're like, who's the crew tonight? And they'll be like, oh, it's Bob Starr and this skinny prick here. And they're like, we're the Hardy Boys. We want to work with the Hardy Boys. And I'm thinking, wow, these guys are awesome. And, you know, but you were also like a guy like Tom Brandy would beat it into my head, like, just be careful how many jobs you do, because, you know, a job guy never, ever gets signed. And, you know, the day you and Jeff got signed to the developmental, and you basically got, I might be wrong, you guys were basically the first developmental guys. Like, you guys and Jay and Adam and that crew that was in the Funkin' Dojo.
Yes.
You guys were the first ones that were basically the developmental guys that you could still do some indies, but, you know, there was a plan. What was the process of there? Like, I want to say Jim Cornette was the guy that would do it, but, like, who was the guy that said, okay, Matt, we've decided that you have done enough here and getting killed and doing everything that we've asked you to do, and here it is. Here is – the opportunity to be a star.
The two people who broke that to us was Bruce Pritchard and Jim Ross. Jim Ross was one that actually said it. Bruce and Jim had a lot of power at that time. And I remember our goal when we went to TVs was always to try and like take an impressive bump or something that would make the guy stand out and look good. And like you said, we were really lucky because there were guys who like would kind of say, oh, I want to wrestle one of these guys because they'll make me look really good or whatever it was. So we were really lucky to get that opportunity. And then, you know, the guys were cool and they worked with us. And then after doing that so long, I remember they said like, hey, we want to put you in like a dark match. And I remember we had a couple TV matches, one against the Headbangers. We had one against Furnace and LaFon where we got to go like 10 minutes and we were like, whoa. And they got to be somewhat competitive, you know, and then sometimes there were, you know, sometimes there were dark matches. And Jake the Snake, who had a trial run as an agent before he, you know, went through one of his periods of being Jake the Snake, had told us that, I'm going to tell you guys, I just came out of the production meeting, and this was like in November of 97, maybe October 97, and we were starting to kind of lose hope, you know, that nothing was going to happen. Because just like you said, that was kind of just drilled in your mind, like if you do jobs over and over and over again, that's all you're ever going to do. And Jake the Snake came out and said, oh, they were in the production meeting. He said, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but what the hell? I don't care. He said, I'm not part of the office. He said, I'll never be part of the office. He said, they're going to do something with you guys. He said, they got plans for you in the future. He said, just keep that in mind. And I was like, oh, man, could this be real? And then, like, the next day at TV, I want to say we did, like, a handicap match job to Kurgan. You know, so we're like, oh, I probably won't say anything. But then, like, March of 98, that's when it came to be, and they told us, like, hey, we want to do something with you. We've had our eyes on you for a while, and we want to test your patience. And we had promoters doing that, like, you know how it is, too, Steve, when you're coming up, and you have someone that gets, like, some local TV. ACW, a guy named Mitch Gowd here in Carolina had some TV in North Carolina, South Carolina, maybe a little bit of Georgia. And we were working for him, and he said, well, if you're going to keep going to WWE and do all these WWF, do all these jobs, then you're going to do jobs for me, because once you're a jobber for life, you know? And like, we just split left. And then like Jason and Shannon and Marty, our whole crew did too. So it was cool. We had like a real good brotherhood, and we stuck together. And then we met, you know, Shane and Mike Howe and a couple guys there. And then we met you and Joy and Christian, and just everybody really clicked, because I felt like when we did work together and we did some Omega shows or we did your stuff with NWA, like it was a group of guys that were young and hungry, that were really passionate, that wanted to see everyone succeed. There wasn't any egos, or there wasn't anyone that was just like trying to use someone to get ahead. Everyone wanted the whole group to do well. And fortunately, I think everyone moved ahead. You know, people got different breaks and different opportunities, and some people got better opportunities than others. But I really thought it was a cool deal, because it was such a great brotherhood, and everyone helped everyone out and supported everyone.
I totally agree. We got Matt Hardy this week on the Steve Corino show talking about, you know, his beginnings. Now, I always call it the Omega effect, where you guys back in 97, 98 that worked for Omega, there were so many that went on to something bigger. You and Jeff with the WWE and TNA, and you know what, you know, myself and CW Anderson went to ECW, Joey Mercury and Christian York, WCW, ECW, WWE, Shane Helms, of course, WCW, WWE, Mike Howell, WWE. All these guys, Shannon Moore, WWE, the WCW, WWE, it was like, it was we didn't know it back then. We were just, you know, a bunch of guys that like enjoyed doing what we did. And you're right. It could have been a clash of egos, because you had, you know, Matthews in New York from Virginia, myself from Pennsylvania, you know, you guys from Carolina. We could have all been territorial, but we all just loved wrestling so much. And I think it, you know, in reality, we're all basically good guys at heart, that we all wanted to see each other succeed, and we all, you know, and we all did. And I think now, you know, 15, 16, 17 years later, we can sit back and enjoy it and be like, well, that was really cool that we could all, you know, sit back and enjoy it.
Yeah, I think it's very rare. It's almost that we were all like so, you know, so young and innocent, and our eyes had never been tainted. It was truly like our passion and love for wrestling, you know, that made us all bond together like we did, and try and help one another, as opposed to being somewhere like, you know, a company that, you know, really made you like, okay, while you're in this company, you're swimming with the sharks. It's either, you know, sink or swim. You know, if you smell blood, you have to attack. That's the only way you survive. You know, we didn't have that mentality. We had the mentality of just like, we're all good human beings, and we want to see everyone else happy and succeed and do well. And looking back, man, it was really special. I don't even think we realized how special and how cool it was, you know, at that point, until you look back now in hindsight. It's really remarkable.
And that leads me into this question that I had written down, was there ever a time when you had this long WWE run, and, you know, the stuff that you guys did with, you know, you and Jeff and Dudley's and Christian Edge. I mean, literally pay-per-views are named after the matches that you guys basically invented. Not that the TLC was ever like, you know, there was TLC and stuff like that, but you guys, it was your guys' match. And, you know, you got to do so many different things, and you know, different characters and different pushes. And did you ever get a chance to, like, while you were in there, like, take a step back and go, holy shit, I've done, you know, this many WrestleManias, and I've been to this many countries, and man, I've made it? Or is it something that it's such a quick trip that, like, you only get to look back now?
It is a quick trip. It's kind of like while you're doing it, like, and it just moves so fast and so rapid, and you're so consumed with it, and it just is your life. Like, while you're there and you're traveling and you're on that full-time schedule, it's like there's almost not a chance to sit there and breathe. I remember we were going out for WrestleMania 17, And that's when we had TLC 2. And I remember Michael Hayes telling us earlier today, he said, you guys make sure this is the, you know, the biggest, most successful WrestleMania in history. You guys make sure as you walk down the ramp, it's a long ramp, take in the moment. He said, just don't let this pass you by. Take in the moment, absorb what's going on. And you can still watch that, like, when it's on the network. I've told this to a couple people, but I haven't said it a lot. Like, there's a look in my face. I come out, I wear what I call the Freddy Krueger shirt. It was like a long sleeve shirt you could see through that was red and black with stripes. And you can see, like, a look on my face, like my eyes moving. It's almost like an emotional look, but I remember at that moment it was very real because I was like, man, this is what we dreamed about doing, and we actually achieved it. And we're, like, in a spot where we're, like, a marquee match on this show that we grew up watching, this legendary, just the showcase of the immortals, whatever. And I remember that was a point where I always remember that. And sometimes I tell other people that if someone young or new is in a moment, you know, and just make sure to enjoy it while you're out there. And I think when I was out in 2004, 2005 with my knee injury, I realized I had time to kind of digest everything that's going on. And I realized, like, wow, we've done a lot of amazing stuff, you know, and it kind of, that's when everything went down with the whole Edge Lita deal, and I was fired for a few weeks. And, you know, I remember thinking, like, oh, if this was my run, then I'm happy. It was a good run, you know. But I was very motivated to still try and build myself or get my story out, whatever. Like, my new shirt, which says survivalist, I think in a lot of ways that's one of the better terms to describe me. You know, typically a survivalist is someone who is ready to survive the end of the world or Armageddon or the apocalypse or whatever. But I really feel like, you know, regardless of how good or how bad things get in my life, like, I always try and find a way to keep moving forward, to push forward and try and get myself back together. You know, I've had good times. I've had bad times. I've had times where I've loved the business and been on top, and I've had times where I've been burnt out and just hated it and just, you know, drugged down to the bottom. But regardless of those times, I always find an effort and a way to find myself and survive and try and make myself better and come out on top. And regardless of the good or bad that I've been through, I feel like it's made me a better person in the long run. Like, every time something good or bad happens to me, I learn from it. And I think that's something that, you know, that is important to do just as a human being in general. And at some point, like, I'm never going to become perfect. None of us are. But I think you kind of get to a point in a certain age where you know who you are. And I think once you know who you are and you're pretty comfortable with your life and you understand where you're going and what you got to do to make sure your life is highest quality possible, I think there's a victory in that. So that's one thing I'm pretty proud of myself about.
Absolutely. And you can get the survivalist t-shirts on shopmatthardy.com. And you said you get to a point where you actually do know yourself. And it comes later. It actually comes later in life. And, you know, your father tells you this and you, I don't know. And then you have mentors on the way that tell you and you're like, no. But I do agree with you. I do think that there comes a time when you finally go, okay, I know who I am and who I want to be and what I'm going to do. And, you know, it's a realization that it's hard to explain to a lot of young wrestlers. And for me, you know, I was wrestling in Japan a lot after ECW, and, you know, I had struck up a great friendship with Shinya Hashimoto, and he was just an awesome guy. And there was times when we were selling out everywhere, and, you know, they were treating us like rock stars and we were making great money. And, you know, like, I was tired, and, like, we were, I didn't want him to kick me as hard as he always would. And he goes, Kurenasan, you, a star, please enjoy the process. I go, wait, what? He goes, enjoy the process. Every night, go out and enjoy something. He goes, maybe history, maybe nightclub, maybe girl, maybe wrestling match, but enjoy the process. And I go, oh, okay. And from then, I really got to, like, every show, whether it be like a little indie show in Bumblefuck, Pennsylvania, or, you know, just a day at the beach with my family, I always think, okay, let me enjoy the process and get it. And I don't think it comes until later. And for me, I've seen you, you know, from when you were younger, you know, through the whole run with WWE and TNA and your ups and downs. But, you know, last year I got to really see, like, the Matt Hardy that, you know, I was around you for a whole, like, afternoon and evening. And my wife and I always talk about this, is it was the day the smile never left Matt Hardy's face. And it was the day that you and your beautiful wife, Rebby, got married in North Carolina. And my wife's 8 months pregnant, but you know, she wanted to go and I wanted to go, and you know, we go over there, and it was such like, not only was it like a beautiful day, but it was so good seeing you, so happy. And you know, it's a happiness that's not, it's very genuine. And I think people see that in locker rooms, and they, you know, fans that come up to you at independent shows, they see that you're enjoying the process, you're enjoying life, you know, and it's very inspirational to a lot of people. And I wish that more younger wrestlers would, and fans, come up to you and you just sit down with you for 4 or 5 minutes and say, you know, hey Matt, you know, I'm this guy and that, you know, because you can relate to almost anybody, whether it be somebody in life or somebody in wrestling. And it's definitely very, very inspirational.
Oh, thank you. That was very kind and generous. And I also want to say thanks to your wife, because she was a warrior on that day, man. She truly was. I couldn't imagine. She came out and she was there and she braved the storm. You know, like you said, she was 8 months pregnant. Is that right?
Yeah, 8 months.
And she was gorgeous. She was smiling the whole while. You guys are gorgeous together. I'm so happy for you. It's just, I think it's a great thing when a man and a woman love one another and they make one another happy. And that was even another thing I had to learn about myself. You know, even after I really got a good grasp and a good grip on who I am as a person and what I can do that is good for me, what I might do that's bad for me. You know, once you are with someone and you commit yourself to them, and you know, you marry them or you're serious with them, you know, as we're both serious with our wives, you know, you also have to learn to think for them, because you're no longer an individual. You're a unit with your wife, you know. So that was another thing that I kind of had to learn and conquer and master. And you know, Rebbie and I are very different, and sometimes it's a great difference, because we're like a yin and a yang, and we play off one another, and we kind of help strengthen each other's weaknesses and vice versa. You know, but with that same thing being said, it's also another responsibility, because once you know how this is, once you really get into a relationship and you really try and make the relationship work, then you have to give a lot of yourself. There's no more being selfish. And that's hard for people to learn, but that becomes learning a part of who you are, I believe, you know. And then once you finally have a good idea and you know who you are and you know who you're with and you know what's good and you know what's right, I mean, there truly is in life, there is a victory in that. And if you get to that point, you should be happy for yourself.
Absolutely. And my wife always says, do you think that Rebbe and Matt would want to go out for like a couple's night? I said, I can ask. She's like, don't ask. I don't want her. I don't want Rebbe to think that I'm a stalker. So she'll kill me when she hears this.
We do. We're actually, you know, not going to stooge it off specifically, but we'd saved the 4th of July for a little vacation. You know, I turned down all bookings around that weekend, and we're going to kind of be out your way. And actually, Rebbe mentioned, she said, oh, if we're not too far from Steve and his wife, we should see if they want to get together and like have dinner or go out one night. So maybe
that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell my wife. I'll make her listen to the show, so that she gets to hear it for herself, because she'll be like, you're lying.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's my wife. Hey, this plays on Friday, so by the time that people are listening to it, it'll only be 2 days away from ROH's Best in the World, coming from Nashville, Tennessee. Hey, and as a commentator, I need to thank you. If it wasn't for Matt Hardy, ROH wouldn't be on pay-per-view.
You're but, awesome. You're the best.
But you're going to be in a tag match with Mike Bennett, with Marie Kanellis in your corner against those Briscoe brothers. Now, ROH fans can be picky and grumpy and hurtful and hateful, and I get goosebumps when you come out, because you put ROH fans in the palm of your hand. And now on pay-per-view, it's Jay and Mark against you and Mike. And what can we come to expect?
I think it's going to be wild, for sure. I really feel like anytime you see, you know, Matt Hardy, or even Hardy for that matter, in the ring with the Briscoe, it's going to be a fight, and it's going to be a great competitive matchup, where, you know, you're going to be oohing and aahing. And I'm a big fan of Mike Bennett, and I really think Mike has a good, he's really on the pulse of how he should work in his role in a Ring of Honor wrestling ring. So I'm really excited to work with him. And we just recently did a promo for the match, which I know we talked about earlier. You had seen, I think a lot of people had too, which Nick Searcy, who's one of the stars of the FX hit Justified. And he's a big wrestling fan. And he had a great time meeting Mike. And we were just talking about the Ring of Honor fan base and, you know, how they – you know, how they feel like they're much more smart. You know, they're much smarter than other wrestling fans. They're almost elitist fans. But in the big scheme of things, if you do things the right way, you know, and you truly get the business and you're on the pulse, like myself and Mike Bennett are shooting to be, and we kind of feel we are, and I think we will be on Sunday. Sometimes they're the most passionate and easiest fans to manipulate because they still, and unless you're in that ring and you're feeling. And you're feeling the actual physical blow and you're in the ring participating in a wrestling match, you still don't get it and you still don't understand the whole dichotomy between anything. So I appreciate those guys, those fans' passion, the Ring of Honor fans. But with that same thing being said, I don't mind getting on Twitter and putting the cap locks on and putting silence, wrestling fan. You know,
and you truly have these fans in the palm of your hand. And I think that, you know, a fan will start off as a hater, but then once he sees that you're part of the game and you understand that they're being fans and they're going to be that, then all of a sudden they're like, hey, you know what? That Matt Hardy's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's funny to see because at the end of the day, you know, wrestling fans are wrestling fans and we're wrestling fans and we understand, the fans want to be part of it that make it so much fun.
Yeah. And we're the biggest wrestling fans, you know, the people that grew up with the passion for wrestling, man, are the biggest wrestling fans. Nobody else would, you know, stay in this crazy industry for the long haul like you and I have if you weren't a huge wrestling fan. So, you know, I do. Whether they're like a self-proclaimed smarter fan or a casual, you know, family-friendly fan, I mean, I love them all and I appreciate them because without those guys spending money on the product, I mean, you know, you and I would have never – you know, been able to survive as long as we have in this industry. So it's awesome. And I do really, I get a kick out of it, you know, when you have those fans that, you know, like turn from a complete hater after a while, if they get to chat with you or they kind of catch on to what's going on and realize like, oh, it's part of the show. You know, once they like, you know, show like, oh, okay, you're all right, man. You know, it's I know I gave you a hard time, but you're all right. You know, it's always entertaining. And like I've said before, man, I love wrestling and I have a pretty good idea of who I am. So it's just fun. And I enjoy the moment. I enjoy working with new young guys and I love trying to help them out and have them have fun out there and enjoy and take pressure off. So it's just, it's a great thing, man. I'm very blessed to be doing what I'm doing and I'm lucky and I'm just really, really fortunate to be doing what I'm doing and I'm happy.
And that's good. It's always good to hear that. Yeah. Before I let you go, the big news on the internet is that the Hardy Boys reunite at upcoming TNA TV tapings. And I mean, everybody wants to talk about it. Everybody wants to know the scoop and everything like that. For me, as a guy that's watched the Hardy Boys for a long, long time, I'm very excited and people have to, you know, you got to get the DVD from the Omega show with the Briscoe brothers versus the Hardy Boys. And I know coming up, we're going to see the Young Bucks versus the Hardy Boys. And, you know, my hat's off to TNA for seeing that, hey man, the coals are hot right now to get a Hardy Boy reunion. How's it going to feel to be back with Jeff in New York City for TNA Impact Wrestling?
It's going to, teaming with Jeff is always special, you know, like, him and I, you know, growing up as little kids in the middle of nowhere. I mean, really, I'm honest when I'm saying this. I mean, we're lucky that we can read and write and speak, you know, because we were almost virtually raised by wolves in the middle of the forest, you know. So considering we grew up together, we entertained one another, you know, we grew up on 100 acres out in the middle of nowhere. You've been to my place. You know how it is. You know, we didn't have friends. We didn't have other people. We entertained one another, and we did it by, like, you know, hiking in the woods and building tree houses and doing whatever. But we were always not just brothers, but we were best friends, you know. And then later they carried over to the whole wrestling dream. And anytime I get to team with him, it's just special because, you know, he's my only brother and this has always been our dream. And it's like, it still kind of reminds you how important and how special life is when you get that opportunity. And Jeff also has been through stuff too. You know, he's been through the thing where he's been burnt out. He's hated wrestling. And I know whenever Jeff and I teamed and wrestled Mark and Jay Briscoe, he said that's the most fun he's had in years wrestling. You know, that match felt really special to him and he enjoyed it. And that meant a lot to me because he went from being the most unpredictable, enigmatic person that you've ever met to being the most responsible person. I mean, God, I'm so proud of him. He is super dad, and just his responsibility is off the chart. And it's crazy because Rebbe only knows responsible Jeff. Like, she has no idea about the insane enigma that existed, you know, from 2002 to 2006 or seven before he came back to WWE. And then, you know, even after he was, you know, hurt and burnt out towards the end of that, you know, but now it's just Jeff and I, like, it's almost like we went through this stage where we both like grown up and we've matured, and you know, like we have this responsibility, and we both have a good grasp on who we are, like we talked about earlier, and just to be in that place in life and be able to team, you know, in an environment where it's going to be on national TV for us, it's going to be special. And I think even though we're older, we're certainly me. Jeff still is. He's uncanny. He's so athletic still, and like it's freakish the things he can still do. Me, I can't do what I used to do physically and athletically. But you know, I feel like I'm a smarter in ring competitor than I've ever been. So worked real hard, you know, physically. You know, the last year I kind of did the things I need to do to get as healthy as I could get, and I've tried to get into the best shape I can get in. So I think it's going to be fun because we're both smarter wrestlers than we've ever been, you know, and we still can do enough good stuff that we can be really good. So it's going to be cool, man. I'm really excited about it. And as I've told a lot of people the last couple of years, they ask like, well, what do you want to do? I mean, do you want to be in the WWE, or do you want to be back in TNA with Jeff, or do you want to be the Ring of Honor world champion, or what do you want to do? Do you want to have a wrestling school? Do you want to be a lawyer? And I just tell everyone, like, you know, I don't really have an end game. I've been very lucky. I've been very blessed, you know, that I've had good runs. I've made money, and I'm kind of set, and I'm good, and I'm married, and I'm happy, and I have a good girl I want to be with the rest of my life. And I just want to enjoy what I'm doing, and I want to have quality days. You know, I want to work and do things I love and make money while doing it. And if it doesn't work out and I can't, then that's okay too, because I love sitting at home and in my hot tub and hanging out watching the big screen TV. There's a lot of great drama series on TV right now, but it's life, man. If you can ever get to the point where you can really slow down and enjoy it, as you were saying earlier, like take it all in, enjoy it. And I'm at that point now. So I don't really have an end game of what has to happen. I don't have to be in the WWE, or I don't have to have this or that or whatever. I just want to enjoy what I'm doing, and I want to try and give back, and I want to have fun with every activity or every spot I do.
And it's great. And, you know, with Matt going back to Impact Wrestling, the team with Jeff, you can get tickets at impactwrestling.com and see him this Sunday with the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. You can see all the providers on ROHwrestling.com. It's going to be phenomenal. Matt, your Twitter, you have so many followers. So, like, if I give it out, not everybody follows you already, but it's at Matt Hardy Brand. And your website, matthardybrand.com. And also, you want to get those shirts, you want to get your Matt Hardy gear, go over to shopmatthardy.com. Matt, I want to thank you for spending way more time than I thought you could. And it's great that you did, and answering all our questions. And I really appreciate it. And I can't wait to see you on Sunday, bud.
Yeah, same here, man. No, thanks for having me. And I love, like I said, I love sitting back with someone else as passionate and, you know, as great in this business as you are, Steve. So I once again, I'm going to say this here on air so everyone hears it. I want to thank you, because you were also an integral part of making me a success in Ring of Honor that we were recent, because like you made the act, and like even as this went down to you being a commentator now, like you still help me out so much, and thank you for that. And I realize like you've been such an asset to me in so many ways. And we're making this final promo, which should probably be up tomorrow, the next day. And there's a couple of clips of us when we had our run together back in 13. this video, and it's just like, man, it was really great stuff, man. And I just really appreciate you helping me out so much during that time. And yeah, man, I just, you know, I love life, and I'm a crazy kid from the middle of North Carolina in the forest who loved professional wrestling and got to have the opportunity to do okay in it. So it's pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. Thank you so much. And yeah, I will definitely see you on Sunday. That was Matt Hardy on the Steve Carino Show. When we come back, we're going to have some Twitter questions and some Twitter love. You're listening to the Steve Carino Show.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com, as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's main event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, Giorgio Bellino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. And a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, ProWrestlingOnly.com, Scott Keith blog at RSPWFAQ.net, and PileDriverWrestling.net.
And now, time for a little Twitter Q&A with the King of Old School, and Dan, too, on the Steve Carino Show.
What a great interview we had with the icon, Matt Hardy. I want to thank him once again. Make sure you go to ImpactWrestling.com for tickets to see him and Jeff reunite in New York City. Also, this Sunday, Best in the World Live on pay-per-view from Nashville. It's Ring of Honor. And before we get into Twitter Q&A and love time and story time, let's get into predictions for Best in the World. And we're going to go over the card. And, you know, you gave me your predictions for the Payback pay-per-view a couple weeks ago. Now I'm going to ask you your thoughts, and I'm going to give you mine too. Now we're going to start off. Let's start off with the six-man mayhem. It's winner gets a future TV title shot. You got ACH, Taka Watanabe, Caprice Coleman, Tadarius Thomas, BJ Whitmer, and Tommaso Ciampa. With the winner getting a future TV title shot, how do you see this going, Dan?
Well, you know, and maybe it's because one of our fans was really hating on him a few weeks ago, but I really like ACH. I think he is very entertaining. I think he's ready for the next step. I think he's a guy that's, and I've been told by others, other hosts of other podcasts, that he's a guy to watch. Not to downplay anybody else in this match, but I'm going to show a little love to ACH.
Well, apparently Kevin Kelly told you that, and I think Kevin Kelly's in the office. I'm gonna change my. I was gonna go with Ciampa up, but now I'll have to switch it to ACH since office boy Kevin Kelly said that he's the one to watch. But no, I honestly think it's ACH's time to shine. He's a great kid, and he's so exciting in the ring, and I love him. Watanabe, he's a good young boy. Caprice Coleman, a great veteran. Tadarius Thomas, he's the young boy. BJ Whitmer's never going to allow him to get over on him. BJ Whitmer's a turd, and Tommaso Ciampa's a good dude. So I was thinking Ciampa. I'm I'm on the fence here. Ciampa or ACH, but you're going ACH. I'm gonna officially go with Tommaso Ciampa.
Okay.
Now we have a submission match with Roderick Strong with Adam Page in his corner against Cedric Alexander.
Ooh, I like Cedric Alexander quite a bit in the limited time that I've seen him, but I just have a feeling this match has some outside interference written all over it. So I might go with Roderick Strong here.
You know what, Rod? He's got the experience. He'll do anything. He's got Adam Page. I still don't see Jimmy Jacobs on the show, which leads me to believe that, you know, Jimmy Jacobs has got to get involved somewhere around here, but Cedric's the breakout guy. Like we were talking about, ACH has got to watch. So is Cedric. You're going Roddy. I'm going with my buddy, Cedric Alexander.
All right. I like this because one of us has got to be like completely right and the other one's got to be just awful. Just a bad person.
Hey, yeah. Next week, I'll be in a resort town with a bunch of drunk family members and we can go over who did what. Now, we got Mr. Wrestling versus The Last Real Man. It's Kevin Steen versus Silas Young.
Kevin Steen is very entertaining. I know this because I oftentimes found myself editing the honor report on PlaceToBeNation.com. Stephen J. Sutton, or Stephen, however you will. And he always used to put his vodcast, his weekend activities. Just for those alone, keeping me up nights, I'm going to go with Kevin Steen in this one.
Well, you know what? There's no bigger fan of Kevin Steen than me, and Silas Young's on a roll. Mm. Steen's still Mr. Wrestling, coming off the big loss to Adam Cole in Toronto. I'm going Steen. So we're both going Steen on that one. Leads us into our guests, Matt Hardy and Mike Bennett with Maria versus them Briscoe brothers, them boys.
Well, neither one of the Briscoes like my smile. So I'm going to go. Yeah. Oh,
you have teeth.
Yeah. Or at least none of them have made it public that they like my smile. So now maybe if we talk to them one of these days, they'll say otherwise. But until that day comes, I'm going to pick Matt Hardy and Michael Bennett.
Ooh, that's a good one. Now, there's no weak link in this one because I look and, you know, Briscoe Brothers, 8-time world tag team champions. You know, Matt is basically wrestling Jesus. Bennett's on his way to be a huge main event player. Dare I say, a future world champion, whether it be in Ring of Honor or WWE. I see such a huge future for Mike Bennett. I'm going with the Briscoes. It's going to be experience over the tenacity of my two butts. Leads us into one of our three title matches. Truth Martini will be handcuffed to the ring post as Jay Lethal defends the ROH World Television Championship against Matt Taven.
Oh, man. I don't want to go against Jay Lethal. I love the impersonations. I know this is a canned answer. I think the guy is so remarkable. I wish he was sitting on this couch right now, and maybe he's doing a Dan McGinn impersonation for all I know. But certainly the Savage, gosh, awesome stuff. But I think Matt Taven wins this. I do.
Wow, very, very shocking. See, I was so against the Jay Lethal turn. To me, Jay Lethal is a, you know, baby face, my 6-month-old loves Jay Lethal. I was so against him turning, and then I've watched what he's done. And he's absolutely amazing, and he's the must-see guy for me. And so I don't want to see him lose. I'm going Jay Lethal all the way. But besides the Steam match, we are definitely not agreeing on anything. But what leads us in the World Tag Team title match? Red Dragon, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish defend against Bad Influence, Christopher Daniels, and Frankie Kazarian.
Wow. You know, you want to talk about, I mean, at the end of War of the Worlds, the internet was already talking about their return, but War of the Worlds kind of clinched it. And certainly conventional wisdom would tell you, oh my gosh, this new, you know, they're back and, you know, the big return and pomp and circumstance. But with that said, You're also coming off of Red Dragon having like one of the greatest tag team matches that anybody has ever seen. I just don't see them losing the belts that quickly. I'm going to go with Red. I'm going to stick with the champs here, but I think Daniels and Kazarian will pull something out. I think they're going to put on a great show. Maybe it's kind of a you know, schmaz ending. I don't know, but I don't see the titles changing hands at this event.
Yeah, I don't see the titles changing hands, but just like you said, there's some sort of schmaz or something like that. Because and I hope there is, because the idea, and I keep looking at it, of Daniels and Kazarian versus O'Reilly and Fish multiple times, it makes me excited. So I'm going with a double count out. What are you going with?
I'm going with I'm going with Red Dragon keeping the belts. I could definitely see it being like I don't know. They do DQs in Ring of Honor. I'm sure they do.
Oh, hell if I know.
But I think Red Dragon wins, but I don't think it's going to be like a clean, you know, 1-2-3. It's not going to be a very decisive win. I think there's going to be something. Count out, DQ, you know, maybe even a no contest, but I don't think the belts get lost.
Okay, and the big one, ROH World Championship, Michael Elgin versus Adam Cole. Who is the best in the world?
Well, I know where you're going with this, because you're, you know, you love this guy.
Man.
Adam Cole, if we're playing the whole, well, has he been on one of our shows before? Adam Cole gets the nod there. Michael Elgin, my gosh, how do you stop that guy? I mean, he is just a beast. And, man... gosh, you need to do something. You got to figure that there's going to be some big title change at this event. And looking at it, I already have Taven winning the TV belt. Maybe this is tough. You know, I'm going to go with Adam Cole, but I don't feel great about it. I really don't.
I have to go Adam Cole. I believe that Adam Cole is just getting into the thick of his title reign. And, you know, Elgin's, it might be a bridesmaid. You know, sometimes there's that girl that's always the bridesmaid and never the bride. And Elgin's one ugly bride.
Mm.
So we got our predictions. We'll go over them next week. It's going to be great. It's the Best in the World pay-per-view Sunday, June 22nd, live from the Tennessee State Fairgrounds Expo Center, 625 Smith Avenue, Nashville, Tennessee. Bell time is 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on pay-per-view. If you go to ROHWrestling.com, you can see all of the outlets that are carrying the ROH pay-per-view. So definitely, definitely get into it. Now, I got to tell you a quick story here before we get into our PWF predictions for tonight when they go live from the Hubert Bingo Hall in Hubert, North Carolina. I'm at a show last Saturday, and it's always a show that my wife doesn't want to go to. And it's in Stevens, Pennsylvania. Now, Stevens, Pennsylvania is in, you know, it's in a place where, I don't know, you could use the old, where men are men and sheep are scared. And it's very Lancaster-ish. So I get there, and it's one of those things that, You get there and you never feel good about it. It's just it's a different kind of people, and I'm always a heel there, and which makes me happy because I don't think I could be a babyface there. So I get there and I'm doing my thing, and I just go, okay, you know, let me go out there, razz up the crowd, blah blah blah, and you know, I'll go home. You know, we talked about this. I'm a roaster. So I get out there, and there's these three little kids, and the oldest is 10, yelling, "Fuck you, you suck, bitch." And I'm thinking, what am I hearing? So, like, shooting me the middle finger. So these kids are like 6, 8, and 10 doing this. I look at the mother. I say, what is wrong with you? Like, what kind of mother allows their kids to curse? I said, you're damn lucky the father's not involved in their life to teach them a lesson. And, you know, that, she wanted to fight. I speak a little truth and people want to fight. Like, could you imagine, Dan, if you had a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 10-year-old, and they were saying these things, whether it be a bad guy wrestler or a fucking Hitler, you just don't say those things to people.
Oh, my gosh. I've mentioned my parents several times over the last few weeks. I would have been dragged. I mean, literally dragged. Like, not just like, oh, I'm going to be grabbed by the ear. I'd be dragged. I might not even be allowed in the car. I might have been dragged by the car all the way home. And then I would have had, like, I would have dined on soap. I don't know if people still do that, but I used to get the mouthful of soap growing up.
Ooh.
Yeah, there was no way.
Right lines.
Now, granted, I grew up in, like, the golden era, WWF, you know, everything's a big cartoon and every blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, no, there was no chance when I was growing up that I would be caught saying foul language, as it were, at a wrestling show. No chance.
Awful. It's absolutely, absolutely awful. Now, tonight, the Premier Wrestling Federation returns to the Hubert Bingo Hall, 400 Hubert Boulevard in Hubert, North Carolina. Hey, like we said at the beginning of the show, tell the ticket lady that you listen to the Steve Carino Show, half off your ticket. Come on. Now, I'm going to run down the show, and I know that you've been doing your homework, Dan. I know you've been doing your homework. Have you been doing your homework?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So I'm going to need your predictions so that we go over them next week. You ready?
Hang on. Getting my cheat sheet out.
Your cheat sheet? Did you write this down?
No.
Oh, okay. Let's start off with Nightstick Eddie Brown's deputy, who will be one of his guys wrestling Manimal Zane Riley.
Oh, man. Got to go Zane Riley there.
You are wrong. Team Fab against Team Fab, who's Fabulous Frank and Luscious Lance, against First Generation James Anthony and Victor Andrews.
I never bet against anybody whose name is Luscious. So we're going to go with Luscious Lance and his crew.
You are wrong. Okay, we got Jagger versus Gluteus Maximus with his Centurions.
Oh, man, the Centurions are in the building? Oh, gotta go. Gotta go there.
You're going to go with Gluteus Maximus?
How can you not?
You are wrong. Okay, mixed tag team match. It'll be man, the Man Scout, Jake Manning, and Soulja Bolt against Mr. Wrestling 3 and Katie Taylor.
You know, Mr. Wrestling 3 has been ducking my calls to come onto this show, and it's really starting to – you want to see Dan get hot over beach balls? Ugh. But you know what? He seems like a good guy. That's why I keep calling him. I'm going to go with Mr. Wrestling 3.
Okay, you might be right on that one. Legacy Cup qualifier match, JoJo Dancer against Chip Day.
I've been known to be called a JoJo Dancer on occasion, so we might even be kindred spirits.
Well, he's black, and you're from Boston. I'm not saying you guys did hate Jim Rice.
We like him now. He's on TV.
PWF Junior Heavyweight Title match, American Tiger defends against Corey Hollis.
I like American Tiger, and not the way that Allison Danger was saying last week. I respect the kid. He seems to have a good head on his shoulders.
Oh, you don't even know.
It looks like he's learned from the best. He comes from a great pedigree. I'm going to go with American Tiger. I may even wear his shirt at the Money in the Bank. I have to work out a deal with him, but I think I might throw my support his way.
Nice, nice. And then the main event, the PWF vs. World 1 unification match. It's C.W. Anderson, PWF heavyweight champion, against Chris Rockwell, the World 1 heavyweight champion.
Well, Chris Rockwell needs to come onto this program if he wants my support. So
he would. I think he would.
Yeah. And, you know, again, whether he likes my smile or not remains to be seen. But no, we're going the other way on this one.
We're going CW?
No, definitely going CW.
Yeah, you can't bet against CW. There's good predictions. We'll go over that next week. Once again, tickets, $5 for kids under 13, $10 for adults. All seats are general admission for the show. We're trying to think where we're going to see how long we can go with general admission. Visa and MasterCard are accepted at the door the night of the event, or you can PayPal your order at pwflegacy@gmail.com. This event is 100% family friendly. Want to watch the May 16th show? Of course you freaking do. ProWrestlingPWF.com. The whole show is up on YouTube. Bell time 7:30. Show will not be over after 9:45, which means you will not spend your whole Friday night at a freaking indie show. Let's get some Twitter love and Q&A right now.
Want me to start?
Yeah, I was hoping that we'd have like some music in there though.
Oh. Why don't we not talk for a second, then we'll see if any music appears.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
Cool. Hopefully it was good music.
I'm looking forward to it.
Would you like to go?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
New name to our collection of characters who ask us questions at Steve Carino Show. At Smashville Matt, he writes, at Place to Be Nation and at Steve Carino Show, how did your promo at the Limp Bizkit concert come together, and whose call was it to get color on stage?
Let me answer the second question first. The color, end quote, it was not color was not color. It was like the chair that hit me so hard that it cut the top of my head and my hands go right to it. So it was absolutely ridiculous. It hurt so bad. The Axel Rotten really didn't take care of me or Balls Mahoney with the chair shot, and something I wouldn't have done before. But I went down and the top of my head was bleeding, and I remember thinking to myself, oh my God, Dreamer is going to be so pissed at, you know, if he thought I got color. So if you'd see, I literally try to like wipe it off right away. But man, I caught like two stitches up in the top part of my head for that. The promo at Limp Bizkit concert came together very simply as Sandman was too drunk to wrestle. Can you believe that? Mm. And there was a concert going on next door, and our promotions department guy, Greg Bag of Shithead, said, hey, there's a concert next door. Would you go? Want to be a heel? Okay, I'll do it. And we went, and I took Gabe Sapolsky, who's the Dragon Gate Evolve booker. He was the camera guy at the time, and we went over there, and we made it one long promo, thinking like, maybe we could just put it on Hardcore TV. I didn't realize who Limp Bizkit was, and I had no idea. And then here, all of a sudden, I take a step out, and there's 15,000 people there, and I went, oh, wow, that's pretty crazy. So, that's how it all came about, all by accident. I see Fish Approved is back this week. Any thoughts on the Chikara promotion or its founder, Mike Quackenbush? No lie, I didn't like Mike Quackenbush in the beginning of my career, and I don't think he liked me. We came from different areas, and I think we had different thoughts about how wrestling should be. That being said, now that we're older and stuff like that, we can laugh at it. He's definitely a different guy. He's so into what he does, and he's very different than me. I don't think we would ever hang out, but I he's very passionate and a real good guy. I enjoyed the time that I wrestled for Pro Wrestling Day in 2013. Really enjoyed my time and how he's a motivator for his promotion. Now, as for the Chikara promotion, love it. Absolutely love it. It's very entertaining. I used to sit at my TV. My sister, Alice in Danger.
Her
husband, Aris, works for Chikara, and they used to send me DVDs. And I'm not going to lie, I used to sit in front of the TV with a few snacks and a few Colorado legal cigarettes, and I would watch it and just go absolutely apeshit crazy for it. Maybe some of that Iranian tobacco that Adam Page's family peddles.
You know what I saw recently while watching a Chikara show?
Back in the day, hon. Not today. I still enjoy it the same way, though. My wife's giving me the evil eye.
Of course she is.
Yeah.
Steve, you know who I saw on a Chikara show recently?
Who?
Friend of the podcast, Tim Donst.
Very good, right? He's amazing.
Yeah, it was a show from Philadelphia, from the Trocadero. He was it was a mask versus hair encounter. And I don't want to spoil it. It was a fantastic match. But it was great. And no sooner did I tweet out that I was watching him, he tweeted me back and liked it, retweeted it, started following me. He's one of the few, the proud, the followers of me. And And yeah, no, it was great. It was a great show. I think it was called Chikarosaurus Rex. They all have really funny names. And and that show was really cool. And then they also do their King of Trios, which is always entertaining. It's like a 3-day event centered around 6-man matches. If you ever get a chance, I mean, if other people, rather, the listeners out there, want to get a chance to get into some Chikara, that's a lot different from the norm, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and if you are a Chikara fan, don't be afraid to tweet them and say, what a hell of a team Aris, Steve Carino, or Mr. Wrestling 3 and American Tiger would be in the Trios tournament. Be pretty awesome. All right, you're up.
All right, at J.F. Feeney III, he writes to us, you know who'd I like to see as a guest to talk about his many stories and experiences at TR Shock?
TR Shock is Tom Robinson, who's a older than me, but he is a old wrestler out of the Philadelphia area that worked for Dennis Carluzzo, who's pretty crazy. Yeah, we'll think about that. Now I see Steve J. Rogers, Jr. Jr. is back. Said, saw an FB top indie tag teams without ROH teams. Poster considered ROH too big to be considered an indie. What do you say? I'm going to go with you on this. Are they an indie? No. They're a television company. And I believe that, you know, there's a difference now. It's not like it was in the 90s and the early 2000s. WWE's they're the shit, man. They're the big one. TNA, they're doing their thing. ROH, it's a TV company. Everything else is independent. So is it too big to be considered an indie? Yeah, because I think it's, you know, they run enough shows to where everything's for their TV and everything else on the outside world really doesn't matter. Show me some love, though.
Twitter love, also from J.F. Feeney III. He talks about our dear friend Brad with his baseball. It's at OOTP Baseball. Just bought the game for my iPhone, playing as the 94 Phillies. Thanks for the heads up, King Carino.
It's a great game. I play it on my phone sometimes on the plane when I have the short flight from Jacksonville to Charlotte, and I won't be able to throw my laptop up. But you really want to get the computerized version of the game. I'm having a tough time right now. 32 and 47 as we talk. I just lost 15-1 to the Miami Marlins today. Nice. Yeah, I taught my 6-month-old all new curse words. He told me that you're going to get fired, Daddy. You're 26 games out of first place. Maybe give it up. Maybe baseball's not your thing. Yeah. It's a great game, though. Love it. Love it. And Brody, BKM 1991, says, thanks so much for the shout-out. Love hearing feedback about my artwork. Maybe I'll paint one of DM MCG 4881 next. He gave a little ha-ha-ha-ha. Great painting, which we talked about last week. And I loved it. Did you send him your Skype picture?
He might have my Skype picture already because it's also my Twitter picture. So we were tweeting back and forth. I told him it would be an honor, and it would be hung in a place of great distinction. But I don't want him to put off other great projects of his own to paint me. That might be. I don't know. Maybe if I'm like kind of on his back burner, if I'm on his periphery and he has me down, that's cool. But I'm not gonna call him every week. Hey, did you paint my picture yet? Hey, I'm not gonna do that.
I love it. Yeah, he does a real good job. Now, hey, I want to start a new thing called Rob Dimension Insults. Now, we do a lot of stuff on Twitter, but there's also a lot of stuff that is text back and forth that is probably so inappropriate for Twitter. Would you say that, honey? Yeah, my wife just shook her head yes. That I really shouldn't say them. So I have to leave out one because my wife's too nice of a person. So, but I will give you a few. And every week, if people like it, we will we'll continue it. And also next week, our guest will be Guillotine Legrand, Chuck Legrand. And, you know, he has the distinct disadvantage of being the guest after Matt Hardy. But I definitely think that you should listen to it. He's got some great stories, the time booking in Puerto Rico, how he broke in, his kinship with Tommy Dreamer and ECW. And Japan stories. It's going to be a real, real fun interview from a real great guy. So make sure you check that out next week on the Steve Carino Show. But this is how my morning started. At 3:05 this morning, I get a text from Rob. Being inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame is the same as having your photo on the grocery wall for bouncing a check. Bless you, honey. Bless you, honey, was not part of the text. I thought that was pretty funny. Then he told me at 10:28, because it was 90 degrees here in North Carolina, I bet you're sweating under those moobs of yours, meaning man boobs. I might have been. We went for a walk today, and it was hot. I came back with, I was hoping you would have hung yourself while whacking off to your F-list horror movies this morning. He wrote, whoa, I'm safe about that. Later on during the day, when my baby was taken asleep, I figured I would write, if I had a 500-mile-long foot, I'd kick you in the vagina from here. He writes, your belly would get in the way. Then finally, he writes, good luck today with the games. We're all rooting for you. Then right away writes back, oh, sorry, that was supposed to be for a different retard. To which I wrote back, good, because I don't need you rooting for me. My fucking team suffers enough. And then I finally hit him with, I was watching a Summer's Eve commercial. You should audition for one since you're a douche. He wrote, it's spelled touche, idiot. That is my buddy Rob, who I hate so much. Every week I think about putting him on waivers for the purpose of giving him his unconditional release. At least 5 times a week, I tell my wife, I'm not friends with Rob anymore. Is that true? Yeah, she shook her head. It's radio, hon. You have to say yes.
Yes.
All right, you don't have to yell. The baby's asleep. Hey, this week, as we've been plugging tonight, Premier Wrestling Federation, Hubert, North Carolina, ProWrestlingPWF.com. Come on out for some good Southern wrestling. Sunday, best in the world, pay-per-view, Nashville, Tennessee. If you got cable, order it, damn it. Because I think we're going to get pay-per-view bonuses. I don't know if that's true, but I hope it is. Hey, my Twitter, at King Carino. Make sure you tweet me. Nothing dumb. Make sure you tweet me. Also tweet PWF Legacy, or at PWF Legacy. Also at Legend of the Mask, at Go American Tiger. Visit me on at my website, worldofcarino.com. Don't forget to buy your T-shirt. Only 2 more weeks left in the T-shirt contest, and that's prowrestlingtees.com/Steve Carino. And what else? PWF, prowrestlingpwf.com. Hey, Dan, yeah. Plug away, baby.
All right, of course. You can join the exclusive club that is my Twitter following at DMCG. That's DMCG4881. That's a good time. If you want to see that smiling face of mine, that's where you would want to go.
Already approved.
Exactly. Also, you can check out my writing. Throughout the course of the show, we did a nice recap. Myself and Scott Criscolo of the Place to Be podcast. We actually did every single episode of Legends House, including a 2-episode special just last week. We'll probably end up doing the reunion show that's being advertised on the WWE Network, so stay tuned for that. Also, all the other great writings and podcasts along the friendly neighborhood, PlaceToBeNation.com. Lots of great podcasts from Kevin Kelly to the Titans of Wrestling, all kinds of great stuff on there as well. And while you are shopping for your dad's late or your grad's coming up, you can always click on our Amazon banner. Go to placetobenation.com, click on that Amazon banner, and still enjoy the great savings you get on Amazon. And then they'll chalk up some lettuce our way, which is great for everybody. So check out the Amazon app, or the Amazon link rather, on placetobenation.com.
Whew. So good. I think that you wrote them down. I have to think about them off the top of my head. I should write them down. Hey, next week, Guillotine LeGrand joins us on the Steve Carino Show. For my man, Dan McGinn, I'm Steve Carino, and you've been listening to the Steve Carino Show. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Steve Carino Show. Download the new episode every Friday at PlaceToBeNation.com.